Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And tomorrow, as many people will be celebrating Valentine's Day, on another end of the pendulum, many people will be focusing their energy towards something much more sobering. And if you happen to be driving through Bemidji tomorrow on Bemidji Avenue, you will see people walking down the street. And last year there was shawl dancers and drummers and signs, and it was a beautiful, sombering and celebratory kind of altogether experience honoring missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. This annual march actually started back in the early 90s when the body of a Native woman was found on Powell Street in Vancouver, Canada. The first march was organized in her honor that Valentine's Day, and they've been taking a place across Canada and worldwide every Valentine's Day since. And after all these years, the stories and harsh realities of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls are only beginning to really make their way into mainstream media. Simone Senegals and Natasha Kingbird are in the studio this morning. They are two of the people organizing tomorrow's events honoring these missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. And they're here to share some insights on this overwhelming problem. Good morning, ladies. Thanks for coming in today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, we were kind of talking a little earlier about why you wanted to get involved in organizing this event. Do you want to talk about that, Natasha? I just thought it was a compelling story, so worth sharing for sure.
So when the first walk started here in Bemidji, I had brought my family to participate in that to help raise awareness and bring the community together and have my family take part in that, because it is an ongoing issue and the strength that comes from being together is very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting how it got started. Someone walked into my office and said, we should do this. And it was 2 weeks before the date. And we said, okay. And, you know, we did it. And we were really moved by how many people showed up. It was really cold that day. We gathered outside. I remember seeing Natasha and her family. We gathered in the parking lot by BSU and walked down Bemidji Avenue. And it just goes to show how important this issue is to our community. So even though there's not a lot of data out in the mainstream, I can't think of any Native family that I know that isn't touched by this and knows about it intimately.
Right. We were talking earlier about this. There was a pretty comprehensive study done with more urban areas. Well, urban being is kind of a large communities the size of Los Angeles to communities the size of my hometown, Pierre, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. So a wide range of communities. And one of the pieces of data that I found shocking was that, according to the study, it looked like there was close to 6,000 Native women and girls who were reported missing in the communities that they sampled, but only just a few over 100 of those 6,000 people actually ended up getting logged into the system. So this is a major problem.
Yep, you're right. It's about 5,700 in 2016 were reported missing, and 116 were reported on the DOJ database.
Yeah.
So it just shows how underreported it is.
Yes. And they called it the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System of the United States. That's the database that they get logged into. How bad is the situation here in northern rural Minnesota from your perspective as Native women?
I think, you know, just even looking at the women who have gone missing or have been murdered in our own community, here in Bemidji, we know who they are, and we're just a little small community, right? So it's touched us, and I think it's a huge issue. I think one of the biggest problems is that it's not. So one of the things that the study that you're referencing by the Urban Indian Health Institute in Seattle, and Anita Lucchese is the main researcher, is that Indigenous women go missing three times. So once in real life, once in the media, and once in the data. And if we don't have accurate data, if we don't have good data protocol or good data collection protocol, then it's really hard to be visible and for resources to be directed towards solving these problems of violence against Indigenous women.
Yeah.
Also, the young men that have been missing. I know a lot of the community has come together to raise awareness for the young men that have been missing. I know that there's a young man missing in Red Lake right now, Dylan Sayers, also Jeremy Jordan, who is missing from Leech Lake. Mm-hmm. So just having that community come together to solve these and bring the law enforcement accountable to help with the data.
Mm-hmm. So when you go to Walmart or something, there's this big wall of missing people that you can look at in Walmart on your way out of the building. You see that poster's there, and you see posters around town. And obviously missing children in particular, but missing people is a big issue. What is the significance in the Native community about missing people? Because it's definitely a problem that is what is the reason for the underreporting? That's what I'm trying to say. What do you think? Why is it underreported? Where's the missing element there?
The quick answer to that is racism, right?
Yeah, and I believe that. And so what can we do to make a difference in that? How do we change that thinking about that? I mean, maybe I'm not making a clear question, but, you know, it seems like what the march is really bringing awareness to the problem. And then what's the next step after that?
I think there's so many people doing a lot of things. So there's legislation that states are doing that are addressing this lack of protocol for law enforcement in terms of how data is collected, what happens when someone goes missing, which databases are they entered into, and sort of this really difficult terrain that Indigenous people have to navigate, because we've got tribal, federal, city, county, all of those law enforcement agencies and jurisdictions combined with the racism make it really difficult to accurately track and investigate these cases. So there's a lot of effort going on. There's been walks, there's art, there's song, there's ceremony. People are, our communities are really active around this.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And I think obviously that sounds like communication among all the parties that matter really makes a big difference. That's what the legislation is going to help do. I heard on Monday morning, I heard on Minnesota Native News about the legislation that's in place or working on in committee right now. So
yeah. Simone, you and I were talking about the almost like a namelessness in the media when people go missing. And I was looking at the history of the missing and murdered Indigenous Women and Girls March, and I found the origin story of the woman who was found in Vancouver, mm-hmm. and I was unable to ever find her name. Mm. It was, it was internet researching, but there was never a name associated with her. And you had mentioned that happens often in the media when a body is found, and then there's no name associated with that. What implications do you see that having on not just Native women, but Native people, when there's like this, it's almost like an institutionalized flaw, a racist flaw, to not associate a name with a person?
Yeah, I think it just speaks to the overall invisibility of Indigenous peoples. Like, we're not heard. I think some people in the American public think we're just, we're gone, that we only existed in history in the past. And I think that there's really deep reasons for that. I think that, I think the American public, their history with Indigenous peoples is a brutal one, and I think a lot of people don't want to think about it. And they want us to be invisible. They want us to go away. I think also that speaks to why there's so many Indigenous women victims and Indigenous peoples, is because our voices aren't heard. We are largely invisible to the mainstream society, and so people tend to see us as disposable.
So you and I have talked about Pocahontas in times past, mm-hmm. and you've explained to me how she really was the first missing and murdered Native woman in our history, or the first
sort of well-known.
Well-known one. Could you share that story with our listeners? Because I think it's worth sharing, and especially since her name is getting tossed around in a dishonorable way recently. Mm-hmm. I just would like you to share her story, if you would do that.
Yeah, really quickly, what I know, and it speaks to, again, this, like, invisibility, and the other side of that is that we're stereotyped, right? And so there's this sort of prevailing stereotype within mainstream culture about Pocahontas as being this woman, not girl, woman who fell in love with, you know, someone outside of her tribe.
Yeah.
And ran away with him and was...
That's the story we hear.
Yeah, it's very romanticized, right? But the reality is that she was a young girl, that she was kidnapped, and that she was part of a political ploy to force her family into submission and doing what was wanted by, you know, colonists, and that she was raped, and that she was stolen and actually died when she was about 20 years old in England. That's the story I know. And so, I mean, I think she's, you know, she's a very clear example of one of the first, well, at least well-known missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Mm-hmm. Did you have something to say, Natasha?
Oh, I was just going to bring up the Urban Indian Health Institute that did this research on the data, and why some of the data has not been collected is because they're running on a budget. A lot of the fees are expensive. That's why a lot of the data wasn't collecting. And also the Urban Indian Health Institute identified 506 unique cases of missing and murdered American Indian and Alaska Native women, and across the 71 selected cities, 25% were missing person cases, 280, 56% were murder cases, and 19% had unknown status, which would be domestic violence, murder.
The data is alarming. And what's happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to hold our third annual Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Peoples Walk.
Okay.
They'll be gathering at the Northwest Indian Community Development Center around 10:30, pre-sign making, prayer, getting ready to walk with the singers, and they would be walking to the Bowl Arts Room that goes along with dancers and singers. And we are also looking for some jingle dress dancers that would be available to come and help support this event. We will have lunch and soup and sandwiches, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the...
If you're out and about in Bemidji tomorrow and you're driving down Bemidji Avenue, mm-hmm. I encourage you to slow down.
Yes.
Take a look at what's happening. I marched in this last year with you guys, gals, people.
Mm-hmm.
And there were giant signs. Each one had the name and image of somebody who was missing. Mm-hmm. And I was astounded by the number of signs that there were. And also... astounded by just the beauty of it all as well. There were shawl dancers dancing down the street. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to the Bow Arts Ballroom, your mom spoke. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple other speakers. There was a drum circle that happened. It was one of the most emotional times I've ever had during a work day.
Yes.
And it's a profound problem. And I just encourage people to slow down, give compassion, caring, and support.
Yeah, because because of the snowbanks, we're probably going to be partially in the street, and we can't have police escort on that particular street because it's out of their jurisdiction.
This is a federal highway or something.
Yeah, so yeah. Have patience and have kindness. You know, we won't. You know, we'll have people in bright vests who are helping to direct and keep everybody safe. So we encourage you to give us that space and help us to not be invisible in our own community. Wear red for those of you who are coming to the march. It's for everyone. We really encourage everyone, Native, non-Native, men, women, bring your families. We'll have rides for elders if they can't walk to and from. And jingle dress dancers, like Natasha said, jingle dress is a healing dress in our community, and so we really need our dancers to come out for us. So... see you tomorrow.
They'll be there, I'm sure of it. They'll get the word. So thanks to both of you for coming in, for organizing this important event. And we'll just keep working to keep the word out. about these folks that are going missing. So you're good. Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck tomorrow. Airy Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of Northern Minnesota. And today we're sharing the stories of missing and murdered people in our community.